Ja, tak til Jimmy.
Bože,
Touché. Da, 오늘 그게 질문이 무엇이? 관계에 대한 질문이 되어가지고, 각부하며, 재매고, 채부하며, 담매고, 오하며, 담매고, 사제주민, 진주민, 조반이지, 도배상제 만남제, 담바들과 사세고, 인도시워서는 귀신이지, 예제대자가, 로라 편바자나 만제니지, 지대전도자바, 안다, 양다, 댐배, 토너, 남바근대, 나선지, 인도 장수 선배 소재 상제 인의 윤대로 사세로 사제 배제 조제 매도 동료관의 인의 대장관제 상제 제도 매세로 로그 남다 인도 제오로쇼 창하 선배 다인의 심지어 동해 다제쇼 깨로 쇼 최준 대신 주주로 제 여당원 고로 라나 면다 내야 다야 미 상제 저당 서지 천왕과 전주 과도다 내게 예배 선언기 놀라대제 상제 로그요 상제 저당 서지 천왕과 전주 과도다 내게 다게 지소 예배 선언기 놀라대제 상제 로그요 상제 저당 서지 천왕과 전주 과도다 내게 다게 지소 예배 선언기 놀라대제 상제 관계자제보다최대의내방유배대신대방중소배 人气成员拿了 any 等于他的几天的拉面上就通的了这一招成就什么人往结果大点的超在都给你记得你的米的一些拉谁给送我能行给那里让的先给他把天你他的前辈那你上级就过把的主本人也行那你也没赢了那你这主席他老哥把他 탑 대야 아니 만화 같이 그거 인도산에 탑 만화 어디 가렸을라나 아니 전주 있습니다. 그다 전주 있음 명남 전에 급급기 아니 생기다. 다가는 신기 그게 아니 전주 있음 그게다 생기시는 면도 가다 아니 전주 있습니다. 다가는 신기 아니 대의 싸워디 아니 청대 두고 인지 송대 남게 그렇게 밤 아니 초기 그렇게 아니 나 심지어 탐지 아니 동해를 전주 된대기다 닝지 다 동해를 전주 삼아니 봐 동해를 시다 껴본대와 랑게 그게 껴본대와 다 학습 진유기다 닝지 전부 아 아니 니를 믿는 게 이시 손대다 아 가시고 그게 땅세게 타다 제 아니 우매 전 아니 우마 격하는 얘기 치지 말라고 시에 얘는 동반 얘기 따와 어다 되는 데니 최순부 때 남긴 주배 아니 교 미선 매대부터 최순부 때에 손님 말이
The great teacher Nagarjuna, who's in fact considered as the second teacher in this era of Buddha Shakyamuni's teachings, he states in his precious garland, Ratnavali, that those who aspire to attain the state of full enlightenment, they must seek the three principal factors for the attainment of such realization. And these three principles, he says that anyone who aspires to attain the full enlightenment must seek its means, seek its causes, correct causes. And what are these correct causes? He identifies three principal factors. The first is bodhicitta, which is the altruistic aspiration to attain Buddhahood for the benefit of all beings. Thus, the generation of that altruistic intention is one principal cause. And however, this a principal cause, which is the altruistic aspiration to attain Buddhahood for the benefit of all beings, is rooted in the compassion, great compassion, which he describes as a compassion with infinite compassion. Infinite here referring to the infinity of the number of sentient beings for whom one cultivates the wish to be free of suffering. And sentient beings are said to be infinite, equal to the expanse of space. So one needs to cultivate compassion, not only wishing the other sentient beings to be free of suffering, but in fact a more powerful compassion which has a sense of responsibility or commitment involved in it, where not only wish others to be free of suffering, but in fact would shoulder upon oneself the responsibility to bring about that freedom from suffering. So this is the second principal cause. And then the third principal cause that he identifies is, he calls it the non-dual wisdom. Non-duality here referring to the wisdom of emptiness, which transcends the two extremes of absolutism and nihilism. So it is the wisdom that penetrates into the ultimate nature of reality, the way things really are, which is described as suchness or the ultimate nature of reality.
And
So we find in the Bodhisattva scriptures the process of the path, that is the process that is involved in attaining full enlightenment, described as being a very long process, and it is described in terms of the 10 Bodhisattva bhumis, the 10 Bodhisattva levels, and also in terms of within the framework of the 5 paths. So, and this whole process begins from the instance the individual practitioner generates, gains the realization of genuine bodhicitta, the altruistic intention. And this altruistic intention, so for an intelligent practitioner, a practitioner with a higher cognitive faculty, he or she begins the path first by cultivating the wisdom of emptiness, the wisdom of no self, or wisdom of emptiness. And this wisdom of emptiness, this wisdom realizing emptiness, then gives rise to a realization of great compassion towards all sentient beings. And this compassion that aspires others to be free of suffering then gives rise to a sense of responsibility, a sense of commitment to bringing about that release of other sentient beings from the suffering. So this is called the extraordinary attitude or extraordinary sense of responsibility, which then culminates in the realization of bodhicitta, the altruistic intention. So at that instant, the individual has become a bodhisattva. The individual has entered the first of the five paths, which is known as the path of accumulation. And then as he or she progresses on that path and deepens his or her realization of emptiness, that individual will reach a point where the understanding of emptiness does not remain merely at the level of the intellect, but in fact acquires a meditative experiential dimension. And at that point, the understanding of emptiness becomes derived from meditation rather than derived from understanding. And that is the point when individual has entered the second path, which is the path of preparation or path of linking. And then as he or she progresses further, deepening the insight into emptiness, then we'll reach a point where the experience of emptiness becomes direct. The realization of emptiness becomes direct and no longer cognitive or direct. It becomes direct. At that point, the person has entered the third path, which is the path of seeing. And also the individual has attained the first bodhisattva level, the bodhisattva bhumi. And then from the second bodhisattva level onwards, the individual attains the path of meditation. And then within the 10 bodhisattva bhumis, the levels, the first seven are referred to as the impure levels, where the individual is still not free from the afflictions and the defilements. And then the last three, the 8th, 9th and 10th, are described as the pure bodhisattva levels. So, and it is through this process, the individual, from the moment of generation of bodhicitta, goes through the process and reaches the highest stage. So, and these stages are also they correspond to the period of accumulation of merits. And in the bodhisattva scriptures, it is said that attainment of Buddhahood requires accumulation of merits over a period of three innumerable eons. So the period of path of accumulation and path of preparation or path of linking constitutes the first innumerable eon, and then the first seven bodhisattva bhumis, the impure bodhisattva levels, constitutes the second innumerable eon of accumulation, and then the final three levels of bodhisattva corresponds to the accumulation of innumerable eon. And in fact, it is said that this attainment of Buddhahood during the period of three innumerable eons is said to be, in fact, a faster framework. Because in some scriptures, there's also mentions of attaining Buddhahood as a result of 30-odd innumerable eons and 40-odd innumerable eons and so on. So the point being made is that the attainment of enlightenment, attainment of Buddhahood, is not a matter of an instantaneous event. Although in some Vajrayana texts there are references to attainment of Buddhahood within a single instance. For example, there is a passage which says that by whose kindness one attains the Buddhahood within a single instance, and so on. So sometimes people may get the impression that there might be some special practice, that if you enter into a meditation session, and then during that meditation session, by within a single instance, like saying, reciting the mantra HUM, something happens and you come out of the session fully enlightened. That is, however, not the case. And that is a very unrealistic expectation, because the Buddhahood is a process that involves a transformation of our mental continuum. And our mental continuum, a continuum of a mental state of mind, which is, one could almost say, permeated through and through with the pollutants of the afflictions. And that pollution of the affliction needs to be gradually removed, layer after layer, and which is a gradual process. And it is through this gradual process the one's mental continuum becomes more and more purified, more and more refined, eventually culminating in the attainment of Buddhahood.
Yang tun ba rimbure sambachi gi idan cha ya na ba re sam lo yao shang xian na ka re zhe me ba ge hao lu zhu bi ani wo me ji chan na le ya de zhe song duo a ta dong ne gi ka su le ge nan ne dai yue na shi da ani zhi zhi tun du yi ni zhe ga re shi dong ne me na tun zhi bu tao yi ni ti ni ga le ka ya ke lu ga shi. So, the name is a top in the Changju Sunda. Any Shiro Tunyu to the Tower, the Nigi Yamhe, Yeting Chibayina, any let a woman nigger let a lulu to me Chumayina, or some to me, I am a sorry. You are civil call and never in the yard. She lulu to me, some to me, Gumaris. You are losing the Tapshi to talk about Kansan, I lay in lulu to me, I am a ris. Any losing Janolia, Miss to make a medivision bayina. Any shandun do, or a tangle, listen to me, man, any tunes in blue, any get the chicas or town check in the bars. Nene, any, a sad children, madam, mental conditions, thousands and gentlemen, your uncle comes, Jaja Shaw, send any registered on Sonyari, Taranising in the Junju Nalaria, she's in Nanga never, the watches in Nature, but this is not in Nature, and the Hurtum is our Shaw sending. 진짜겠다. 가서 우리 그게 닝도 로치 그게 장투가 죽나? 아니, 랑 초하다가 다 샌드위. 진짜 사마제베 리미니 샌드 죽주리. 사제니 샌드 죽주리. 샌드 죽야려야 아니 다 나바 탐제도 다 간다. 전혀도 심지 지수도 너무 숨네. 다 샌드 죽야 지금 인사마지. 다 랑스체는 지금 수도 그게 소수의 랑전 중년으로 지금 수도 그게 매다가 다 가다 중원 씨 심지어 탐지하러 와 왔는 씨 다 랑이야 심지어 탐지하러 재정 인사 뭐 근데 지금 다 안에 싸우러지 몇 톤은 아니 뒤로 떠밖에 매다 와 자자 먹고 남바 끈도 샌도 멋있게 높여야 지금 근데 지금 그게 말이야 자 근데 이인들 지금 가서 우리 로슨 차선으로 싸우게야 지금 람레스라면 암저 동동시에 계속 장면 속 거부르시면 아다 들리는 거 가히 뭐 치시세는 파티 탕으로 체제 내대야 소지 재미도 와.
Then the question might be raised that if the attainment of Buddhahood takes such a long period of time, then one might get the impression that oh, this is too much. One might feel discouraged. Here it is worth reflecting upon some of the passages we find in Nagarjuna's Precious Garland, where Nagarjuna says that the length of the period, time that takes in attaining Buddhahood should not be any grounds for discouraging the practitioner, or any grounds for making one feel kind of exhausted or kind of incapacitated. He said that in fact, if the person, the practitioner is such that he or she possesses the skillful method and also the wisdom and the union of the two, then the time factor should not make any difference to his or her sense of commitment and endeavor. And he gives a sort of a, he compares to our day-to-day experience. He says that if we are undergoing a painful experience, then generally it is the case that even that period may be very short for us, for the individual, that, you know, because of the painfulness of the experience, it feels as if it is very long. In contrast, if the experience is pleasurable and pleasant, then even if the process, the period that the experience is taking place is very long, that, you know, we feel as if it was too short. So that is generally the case. If this is so, then he says that for a genuine practitioner who possesses both a method of a skillful method, which is the compassion and bodhicitta, and the union of that with the wisdom realizing emptiness, then at the initial stage, at the beginner stage, although the practitioner may encounter painful experiences at the physical level, may experience pain and suffering and so on, but given the strength of his or her inner realization, one can endure the hardships that are entailed. And as he or she progresses further, then at a certain level of realization, that individual practitioner becomes invulnerable to physical hardships and pain and so on. And if that is the case, then the person no longer feels pain and suffering, and therefore, when he or she is engaging in the path towards attainment of Buddhahood, then time should not make any difference to the individual, because there is no experience of pain. So that is one one reason. Another reason, he says that furthermore, the Bodhisattva practitioners are individuals who have dedicated their entire being for the benefit of other sentient beings. For example, Nagarjuna expresses the sentiments in his precious garland that may I be like the earth, like the great elements, like the earth, water, fire, and so on. May all parts of my being be of service to other sentient beings. And similarly, we find in Shantideva's Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, Bodhicharya Avatara, where he expresses the sentiment that for as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, may I too remain, until then may I too remain and dispel the sufferings of the beings. So if one can understand these sentiments properly, then one will understand that the practitioner, a Bodhisattva practitioner, is someone who has dedicated his or her entire life, entire being, for a sole purpose, that is to bring about others' well-being and serve others. And if that is the case, then the time it takes to become fully enlightened, again, has no relevance. Because even if the person is fully enlightened, the only task that will remain is to serve other sentient beings, which is the practitioner is doing anyway while he or she is on the path. So, furthermore, when he or she is engaged in the path and uses his or her, dedicates his or her entire being for the service of the other sentient beings, then, in a sense, one is fulfilling the pledge that one has made when generating the bodhicitta, the altruistic intention, and also when taking the bodhisattva vows. And one is living the pledge that one has, the ideal that one has adopted and the pledge that one has accepted. And when you think along these lines, then you will understand that this notion of someone who is working for others' well-being, but somehow he or she has some other sort of interest called self-interest is in fact false, because the only task that he or she has is the service of others, is bringing about the well-being of other sentient beings. So in these ways, Nagarjuna explains that the time and that involved in the attainment of Buddhahood really has no relevance so far as the practitioner is concerned. If we understand this point clearly, then we will avoid the following danger, which is that sometimes there may be a tendency that when a practitioner hears sort of rather attractive statements like doing a 3-year retreat and 3-month retreat, getting the impression that somehow after I come out of this 3-year retreat that I will be enlightened, or I will be, you know, I will have attained great realizations. So when someone hears that, one sort of immediately kind of raises up one's ears, extends one's ears, and becomes interested and shows tremendous enthusiasm. But when one hears the Bodhisattva scriptures' description of attainment of Buddhahood requiring an effort over a period of 3 innumerable eons, then somehow sort of your interest kind of diminishes. So that danger will be avoided.
In fact, I
similarly had this feeling when I was in my teens. Once, I remember very clearly when I was in my teenage, at a teaching session with my teacher, Thadar Rinpoche, I made the remark to Thadar Rinpoche that having looked at the Bodhisattva scriptures, the sutras, I feel as if the process of path that is entailed in described in the sutra system is so long that it seems almost impossible. So probably the Vajrayana path, where there is an explanation of the possibility of attaining Buddhahood within a much shorter period, may be more suited to me. And so Thadar Rinpoche was immediately sort of, he responded back by saying, how can there be a viable Vajrayana path without the practice of bodhicitta, without the practice of altruistic intention? And I remember that reply to this day very clearly.
In fact, 전주 샘지 줄을 깨라 이나 차장 코랑 그 소. 직접장 코랑 그 장생 송교하래. 다가는 신비 젊은 책이 아니 르는 처음에 난리야. 아니 전주 샘비 팬송윤주 삼바 샹준 삼네. 라운드 샬라 두용어 인스 송도 와. 저 진짜 인도 전에 내가도 저도게 되든 탐절로 아니 전주 샘지 줄을 깨라잖아. 아니 라는 안 돼 용대야지. 매미 흘러서야지. 뭐 13개가 연달아야 7일 매미 흘러서는 쓰게 하래. 전주 샘지 줄을 깨라잖아. 그다지 전주 샘과 수학이 내 당국에 내겠네. 갈라가 항상 그 매미 흘러서야지. 영사리.
Nagarjuna states in the Precious Garland that if an individual practitioner, or if we strive to cultivate the bodhicitta with all our efforts, and if we dedicate all our efforts into the generation of this altruistic intention within us, and also the compassion for all sentient beings, then through this dedication in our cultivation of these altruistic ideals within us, and live according to those ideals, then we will gain a sense of deep satisfaction that, yes, I have now fulfilled the purpose of my human existence. You will gain a tremendous sense of fulfillment and tremendous sense of satisfaction. And this sense of deep sense of satisfaction and fulfillment really serves as a counterpoint, preventing any potential for feeling of exhaustion or fatigue. So, in such a person, there is no room for a feeling of fatigue. And therefore, when as a result of striving in the cultivation of bodhicitta, the altruistic intention and compassion, if we gain the genuine realization of bodhicitta, uncontrived, non-simulated, and spontaneous, then you will attain a powerful state of mind where your vision transcends all limits. For example, like your practice of compassion and bodhicitta is directed for the benefit of, for the purpose of infinite numbers of sentient beings. So far as the purpose of that practice is concerned, it is infinite. The goal the objective of that practice is concerned, it's infinite sentient beings. And the purpose of that practice is to attain the state of Buddhahood, whose enlightened qualities are infinite. So it's infinite enlightened qualities is your goal. And the means by which one engages in the practice is the infinite numbers of bodhisattvas' practices. So there is an infinity of bodhisattva deeds. The time during which you engage in this altruistic activity is infinite, the innumerable eons. So there's infinity of sentient beings for whose benefit you are engaging in the practice. There is an infinity of enlightened qualities, which is your objective to attain. And then there is the infinity of bodhisattva deeds that you engage in as a means. And there is infinity of time across which, during which you cultivate these practices. So through these, when these four infinite factors come together, Nagarjuna says that this in itself will make it possible for the accumulation of three innumerable eons to take place on its own. And this is similar to what Kadamba masters would say. The Kadamba masters would say, put all your efforts into cultivating bodhicitta, the altruistic intention, because once you have cultivated bodhicitta, once you have generated bodhicitta, once bodhicitta arises in you, then it will take care of everything. It will take care of accumulating the merits for you. It will take care of purifying all the negativities. So all your efforts must be directed towards the sole purpose of generating bodhicittas. Similarly, Tsongkhapa says in his great exposition of the path to enlightenment that the cultivation of bodhicitta, the altruistic intention, is such that when you engage in working for bringing about the others' welfare, one's own self-interest are fulfilled as a byproduct. Therefore, the practice of bodhicitta is such that one could say that it is the source of the fulfillment of one's both temporary aims and also ultimate aims, the long-term aims. Often when we speak of the enlightened qualities of the Buddha, one of the qualities of the Buddha we describe is the spontaneity with which Buddha can achieve things. And in a sense, there is a similar spontaneity involved here. When you have realized bodhicitta, then it allows you to fulfill all your immediate aims, and also it helps you to fulfill your ultimate aim of attaining Buddhahood. So in a sense, there is a kind of a similitude of a Buddha's enlightened quality here. We also find in the aspiration prayers of Maitreya where there's a stanza which says that it is with this the road to the lower realms will be blocked. It is with this the doors to the higher realms will be opened. It is with this the freedom from death, aging, illness, and so on, birth, will be brought about. It is this bodhicitta that I pay homage to. In fact, if you closely examine the entire spectrum of the Buddha's teaching, we will realize that we will come to the realization that the practice of bodhicitta, the altruistic intention, really is the essence. It is really the main practice, the actual practice. And all the other aspects of the Buddha's teachings and practices are really either preliminaries to it or supplements to it as a precept. For example, we can see that within the framework of the three capacities, the three scopes that Atisha outlined, all the practices that are associated with the initial scope and the middling scope, they are in one way or another preliminaries to the actual practice of bodhicitta. Then you have the practice of the Bodhisattva's practice of the six perfections, and then also you have all the practices and teachings of the Vajrayana class. And in fact, the Vajrayana teachings can be seen as further elaborations on the last two perfections, the perfection, in other words, tranquil abiding and wisdom, or the perfection of meditation and wisdom. And so we can see that all the teachings and the practices of as embodied in the six perfections and also in the Vajrayana teachings are precepts that the practitioner of bodhicitta must engage in. So the heart or the actual the main practice really is the bodhicitta, the altruistic intention.
Oh yeah. Yeah. 다 来的女木是要去开浪来的马浪来的 아, 제가 너시 동해에게 참배, 동해지, 두 타도보도 냥거래, 그 갈래갈래리야, 냥채, 이제 줘야지는 다들 줘오고 그래. 와. 이제 두 타도보도 동해지, 냥기냥기리야, 동해지, 랑로 미치지, 마오바리이네, 동해 코래, 랑로 지나고 말해. 근데 이제 동해지 너그 말해. 너그에, 인도산에 너그에 두이장 다래.
So when we think about these points, what is entailed in the practice of cultivating bodhicitta and the compassion and so on, if someone feels that this is completely beyond me, this is impossible, this is difficult, it's very complicated, then of course one is free as an individual to choose not to engage in the practice. But then we have to ask the question, if that is so, then what other means are there to bring about the cessation of suffering, that we the suffering that we do not desire? Then, regardless of whether one accepts the notion of karma and afflictions, the fact remains that we are all conditioned by karma and afflictions. Our very existence, present existence, is a product of karma and afflictions. And so long as we remain chained to the conditions of karma and afflictions, there is no room for lasting happiness. Calamities strike us, undesirable events befall us. This is a natural fact of our existence. And our sufferings include the very natural sufferings such as of birth, illness, aging, death, and so on. But also various other adversities that we face in our life. So here, it is worth remembering what Kadamba Master Potowa said. Potowa said that when we observe deeply the nature of our suffering, including the suffering of birth, death, aging, and sickness, let us see if there is ever a possibility of exhausting, completing the suffering simply by living them out, simply by experiencing them and living them out. And this, however, doesn't seem to be the case, because since times beginningless, since beginningless lifetimes, we have endured all these sufferings over and over again, birth, aging, death, illness, and so on. But somehow time, simply by living them out, doesn't seem to have brought them to an end. So if this is so, then one can sort of infer that even in future too, simply by living them out over a period of time is not going to bring about the end of these sufferings. So what is required is to consciously and deliberately bring about their end. And this can be done only by understanding the nature of suffering and seeking out what are the correct means of bringing about that suffering.
지그게 대전을 로시 머시시바 룰댄데바 세월에 다 시바스르 릭직 레민도 도도르 직 레민도 시바나 남라 먹고 싶을 거야 사고는 나가 나는 시바는 신기 시바나 타라 먹고 싶어 저 드레 인도산에 시바 라고 먹고지 룰댄데바 다 세월샤리 대주체지 류여나 예바 류 류기 시바 더서나 시바도 가드라인 뭐다 세월샤리 레디는 시바 타다 되려면 누가 Shiva Moguchi, Luna Madembar, Kora Rangeva Tony, Jongasia Yodavada, Rimbe, Shiva Koran, Nubati, Shukhara Yodavati, Kota Telkesa, Taja Chenichi, Tonde Aji, Yeva Yusane, Shiva di Mushi, Rimbati Tane, Luli Shimstande Yordi, Zara Shiva di Kora Lule, Ross Yodavati, Petitavi, Shiva Tamugan Samtambaina. So that in the Indusane, Shiva Tia, Jigatani, Kizi Kizi, Jingle, San Jingezi in Sinjala, called Jujiari, Genjiari. Do the Genji ever seen? Ringdania Lingi Jujikuari, Tenjikuari, Ringdania Lingi two men, Shiva Kizi Tango, any, you remember the Tonga Shiva Tune, called Kausha. So the little town of Samus Town in Dusane, only Namjana so on the Chene. Any Namshi member Namshi, Nelim in the chain, Druk Son as in Shani, Sheven Sheva Kasota, Siri Sangi, Jun Tamukane, Koranga Jundangame, Junchigi, Nelin Shana Mada, any Kasole, Nyongsangi, Sergi, Tony, Mending Churchi, Sheva, Nelin Shasari, Kaucha. So the little time to start Dangsha Manguchaya. Any Nine. 경험을 정했는데, 남의 루즈자만 이봐, 다다이네 경험을 세우고 싶으시 정했는데, 경험을 민중에게 침상하게 보고 있는데, 경험을 정했다고 세우고 싶은데, 영원되기도 와. 자, 들리면 인도선에다, 어디 내려타내다, 아, 더둥이네, 가서 당시에 제초우래, 당시에 제초우래, 가게 말해. 그럼 무든 당시에 제초우야지. 자, 딱 산재비 체크 나네, 딱 산재비 체크소래. 경험이, 딱, 뭔지, 이 떠든 멍구지, 시베 균지시 캐는데요. 경험을 캐는 게 아래. 가서 계시오는 시리, 더도, 시에베 균상 때문에, 마시아 모습에 그도래야, 아니, 다가면 가사, 떡지 랑어, 풍불리 된 시엔도 돼야 돼. 내일도 전부래. 자, 내 인도산에다 가다 경험을 진 당시, 딴 뇌댕에 찍이, 경험하겠다, 너를, 송나로, 경험을 시에댕에 준비 아래. 딴 낭바에 뒤나게 찍차대 아래. 그래서, 어, 김제들 이렇게 타네. 잡아 먹고 재배지래 마도, 경험을 찍이 요아래서 쟤네. 얘가 시샤로 찍이, 근데 계시지? 그래야 말해. 당시에 멍구체, 김전체가체. 아니, 니네, 많이 받아, 매번 입었어야 가가래도 와. 난 들게 생각도, 지, 니네 멍구체, 많이 받으면 그래, 마도, 매번 입어 말아. 좋아.
An acquaintance of mine, a great scholar, Gishi, once, in the course of our conversation, we were actually talking about the nature of self and the absence of selfhood. And the conversation centered around the fact that self is an elusive phenomenon, that when you probe into it and search for its existence, what we find is it's untenable, it's not findable. Within the body and mind. And then the Geshe, the scholar, remarked. He said, "Yes, it is very elusive. It's very complicated. And also, when we search for it, when we look for it through a critical analysis, we always tend not to find it. It's unfindable. However, if the self and does not exist at all, in a sense, that would make things very simple, that would make things very easy. Then there would not be any subject.
Much better, sir. Much better.
He says that if the self or the person does not exist at all, then in a sense it's much better, because then there will be no experiencer of suffering and pain. There is no subject that would undergo such experience. And everything will be much simpler. However, that is not the case. There is regardless of whether we can actually pinpoint it, there is, however, an individual, there is a being who undergoes the experience of pain and pleasure, who is the subject of the experiences, who perceives things and so on. So, so from our, based on our own experience, we do know that there is something, whatever we may call it, that makes it possible for us to undergo the experiences. We have something called discernment, ability to perceive things, ability to discern things, whether we call it... and in fact, if you look at the experience of suffering, although some of the sufferings may be at the sensory level, at the level of body, pain, but in fact, the very experience of pain is intimately connected with consciousness, intimately connected with mind, because it is connected with feeling, and feeling is part of the sensation, and sensation is part of the mental world. And this is what distinguishes sentient beings from other biological organisms, like plants and trees and flowers and so on. Sentient beings have this this subjective dimension, whether we call it experience, consciousness, the mental world, or whatever. And then the question is, what exactly is this phenomenon, this mental phenomenon? And this has been, whether or not this mental phenomenon or consciousness of the mind is 100% contingent upon the body, whether we can identify the mental phenomena entirely with the physical world, physical phenomena. And this is, so in other words, this is the issue of mind-body relation and the nature of mind and body. And this has been a major area of interest in the philosophical tradition. So this is not an issue that is, question that is very new. This is a question that has been raised in ancient India for a long history of philosophical thinking tradition. For example, one of the ancient Indian schools was a materialist, adopted a materialistic standpoint. They argued that mind is ultimately reducible to the physical body of the individual, that mind is identifiable with body. There is no separate phenomenon other than body. And they argue that because mind is entirely contingent upon body, that when the individual ceases to exist at the point of death, at the time of death, that his or her consciousness will also come to an end. And they gave the analogy of mind and body are like the wall and the murals upon the wall. When the wall is knocked down, so long as the wall exists, the mural is there. When the wall is knocked down, the mural is gone. The mind and body, another analogy they gave is the mind and body is like the wine and its potent, its alcoholic potency. When the wine is drunk, when the wine is finished, the alcohol is no longer there too. So similarly, mind and body are related in that manner, so that when the person dies, that's the end of consciousness. However, many other Indian philosophical traditions rejected that. And also in modern kind of correlates of this discussion is about the relationship between body and mind and its relation to the whole our cosmological understanding of the origin of the universe. For example, according to modern cosmology, the evolution beginning of the current world system is posited as something, the event of Big Bang. And also the question is whether that is the very beginning of everything. Where does consciousness come from? And also one thing that we can understand both through scientific analysis and also from our own personal experience of perception is that whatever experiences that we have now are consequences of conditions that has preceded Nothing comes into being without cause. And similarly, just as in the material world, everything must have a cause and conditions that give rise to it. Similarly, in the mental world as well, all experiences have causes and conditions. And when we speak of the causes and conditions of consciousness or the mental world, and there are two principal categories of causation or causes and conditions. One is a material cause or the substantial cause that turns something into something. And there are other cause conditions which are the contributory factors that makes that causation possible. So the Indian Buddhist teacher, master, Dharmakirti points out in his Pramana Vatika, Valid Cognitions, he says that something that is not mental cannot turn into a mental phenomena. In other words, something that is purely physical or material cannot become a mental. So what he's pointing out here is that for a consciousness, for an instance of consciousness to take place, it must have, as its preceding continuum, another instance of consciousness. And through this way, we can trace the causation to the beginning of consciousness of this life. And through this way, one posits an earlier preceding life. So so it is in these and furthermore, if you look at the Vajrayana literature, there is an understanding of different levels of subtlety of the mental phenomena, mental world or consciousness. Normally, when we speak of mind or consciousness, we get the impression that we are talking about one unitary kind of a single thing. This is, however, not the case. Just as the physical world is a diverse world, similarly the mental world of mental world of consciousness is also a very diverse world with very different levels of subtlety. And it is obvious that at the most gross level of experience, our consciousness and perceptions and senses are very contingent upon our body. But as the level of consciousness gets more and more subtle, there is a greater degree of independence from the physical body. So it is along these lines one accepts the continuity, never-ending continuity of consciousness. And from the Vajrayana point of view, on the basis of this subtle, luminous nature of mind. And so it's not the case that the ancient Indian schools, including Buddhism, those who accept the concept of rebirth, simply makes the claim on the basis that we believe in rebirth. A lot of thinking has gone into this, a lot of analysis has gone into this, a lot of philosophical reflection has gone into this. Furthermore, we also find anecdotal evidence of very clear situations where children who are capable of recalling their past life experiences, even in some cases in a family where the parents don't believe in the idea of rebirth or previous existence. So there are anecdotal stories. Again, of course, we need to constantly subject this to analysis and to critical examination. Generally, when doing so, I think it is important to bear in mind one very important logical point. The point is the following, that we must be able to distinguish clearly between cases where we haven't found something and where we have found that to be not the case. So in other words, finding its absence and not finding are two different things. And many phenomena at present, we may not have, instead of not finding its absence, we may have not found them so far. So we need to be able to make a clear logical distinction between those instances where we have found this to be not the case, in other words, we have disproved something, or instances where we simply haven't found the reason, or found it.
Yang Rikashe, Yue Yang, Sulu Krishikha, 출루 신자식 자연도 많이 보지 대 용구를 봐. 그러다 디기니 가사 자상가 자 디리인도 고 연아야 남중 아주 차단된 데 지금 타네 많이 보지 아니 균세체는 매바 타져야 영말에 다 늦으리를 견다 미국이 와래 디 연아 아니 대단 겨인데 보지 디 용 미신 보지를 겨와도 봐스 겨와도 미국도 봐스 근데 이제 대단 겨외 최대 이 영식이 말이 있잖아 겨다 미국에 대한 매바 두야지 용구로 봐 근데 다 도스니 겨왕에서 상당하나 겨왕에서 민드나 갈리 파워 파토 윤디 내주 망구지 아니 지 가소래 당에서 미러클 세야디 시에거래 다 지금 루브르 실이야 다 지금 내세자 매듭이 터네 중대비시 영대기 와 이따 시에고요 드리실 따고 그때 얌세를 사지 가는 거도 지암에 되지 겨왕에서 남샤 시에서 디 터네 상담배이나 망구지들이야 디 랜테병지 용서로리아다, 드러스밀렌, 튀김에다, 메신디, 간다, 겨왕어신, 드러처리아, 느지, 패지, 용어리. 겨왕어신, 민드러처리아, 패지, 겐두다, 느지, 패지, 망어리. 자, 근데 인도다, 산제베, 산제베, 루기, 아니, 가서 그게, 리뷰 두시 망사, 느지, 용서디, 아니, 캘러리아래.
So, it is important to
anyway, be. Karena minum tamu juga misalnya, minum jenis tamu juga misalnya, minum juga tuya di, terus nyokre yare. Kau di nasi sini berjalan nasi, ini kau kata lugu je berinsan, cemar aku mampu si lugu je yunju, kau cemar je lugu yare. So jadi ini sana jalan kau macam cemia, wah. So jadi ini berindu, tak, jadi jalan kau macam yang misalnya, ini jalan kau juga di. 그다음에 로 수르네베 타네 살로몬 곳이 다나마다 남산다가 겨왕하시고 이집트야 가고도 가.
So it is important to be able to make distinction between instances where we have not found to be the case and where instances where simply we haven't found it. And also when we use critical reasoning to analyze something. And then here we have to also understand the domain of application of that particular style of reasoning. So different forms of analysis may have different domains and different scopes. So simply.
그런데 남들이 참여하는 소원을 지켜야 해. 내가 주인들한테 너무 많이 보시는 두려지 두단지. 아니 가사 미나무 지금 두려지. 딱 들려야 이 견다 지유연이. 양은 견담합니다. 양은 견담합니다. 이렇게 된다고 조심으로 와. 자, 다 겨왕에서 매번 두시 늘상 도와줬다.
For example, we find in Pramanavatika, Dhammakirti's text on logic and epistemology, many different forms of reasoning. For example, if you are establishing the absence of something, if you are proving the non-existence of something, then you cannot simply state that this does not exist because we cannot see it. That kind of simplistic reasoning doesn't operate. What we need to do is to use the correct form of reasoning to the correct domain of discourse. For example, Dhammakirti makes a distinction between two primary forms of logical negation. One is where generally the thesis that is being disproven, if it exists, it should be observable. Then under such circumstances, then when you can show that it cannot be observed, then you can prove its absence. There are, however, other instances where what is being negated is simply not perceptible, even in normal situation. Under such circumstances, simply by stating the fact that you cannot observe it, cannot establish it, cannot prove its non-existence. So then how does one go about negating something? Then there are two ways. One is either by proving that something that is contrary to the case is so. So by establishing its contrary, then you can prove something, negate something, or by proving the by negating something that is closely related to causally or causally connected to something, then you can negate the thesis. So the point being made here is that it is through we need to make a clear distinction between not finding something and finding its absence. So that is a first of all a big important and logical distinction. And so it is through these methods that ancient philosophical traditions like Buddhism chose to accept the notion of rebirth and previous lives. Because if you compare the two traditions two standpoints, the standpoint which rejects which denies the existence of rebirth and previous existence, and the standpoint that accepts the never-ending continuity of consciousness and accepts rebirth and previous existence, then one can argue that the standpoint that accepts rebirth has a much greater explanatory resource at its disposal. Because if you don't accept the notion of the never-ending continuity of consciousness, you don't accept the possibility of rebirth and previous existence, then there remains a lot of phenomenon that becomes completely inexplicable, and we can choose to describe them as mysterious or miraculous, which is a shorthand for ignorance. And so, in other words, basically, you have no explanation to these phenomena. Whereas, if you accept the notion of rebirth and previous existence and the continuity of consciousness, then you have, although you may not be able to give a 100% satisfying explanation to everybody, but at least it gives you a much more explanatory resource. And generally, when speaking of proof, it is very difficult to try to prove something that another person cannot have an experiential knowledge of. For example, imagine proving the existence of dreams to someone who claims not to have dreamt at all, had any experience of dream. How would you prove that everybody experiences dream? Similarly, in the case of all of us, although from the Buddhist point of view, we all have experienced different lifetimes, but when you change lifetimes, your body changes, and much of the memory that goes with your body also ceases to exist, so we have simply no ability to recall our past life experiences. So it is difficult to say past life exists because this is the case. So one can say that between these two standpoints, because the standpoint that accepts rebirth and previous existence has much more explanatory resource, Buddhism chose to adhere to that standpoint rather than rejecting and denying a rebirth.
sim rakwa lubo wad ki digi ma nivar di ma ta shung chine chi sim nyam chamun ji nyam nyong lo chenpo ya pe yun di dedan zi chenpa chile yun di kya nga me chenpa di pe zi yung kye sri kota sim chal chal shibu khadu ini kya nga me sheba ni chen di sheba lo ma tuba di nga di sheba chamun ga yung di korba sina lo ma ta chal shibu khadu ya ini di chenpa chile yun di chenpa chile yun di ini kya nga me chenye ji
50대 그 때, 깬, 들으시겠다, 바, 그걸 가르쳐야 뭐야. 그래서 차에 그돌리, 아니, 곰, 배, 싫어하고 그게 뿌듯하고로 차니, 연배 그돌리야, 디, 아니, 에, 가소래, 슈그때, 아니, 참아, 차에 내고 참아지는데,
경험에 잡아준대. 가장 세부적인 용도가.
When speaking of memory, it does seem to be the case that much of our conscious memory is really very contingent upon our present body, physical existence. So a meditator, when he or she enters into a very deep stages of meditation, then what is happening is that the individual is able to take the level of his or her mind to a much subtle state. And as he or she goes to a more and more subtle state, then there is a greater degree of freedom from the contingent the contingency of the present body. So it seems that among some of the meditators that I know personally, there are individuals who, as occasionally when they enter very deep in their meditative state, that they get very vivid recollections of past experiences. And these, at the initial stage, remain more like kind of glimpses, kind of spontaneous glimpses, and which is called kind of nyam in Tibetan, which is more like kind of a spontaneous experiences, and which eventually, if the meditator is able to progress deeper and deeper, may be turned into an actual realization. So this suggests that as you go deeper and deeper into meditative state, and the more subtle your state of mind becomes, then the sort of the you have a greater ability to recall past life experiences, which reside in a much subtler state of consciousness, because it is the subtle continuum of the subtle consciousness that connect individuals' different lives. Related to this, I forgot something from the previous part. His Holiness was saying that if consciousness is ultimately reducible to body, then all the functions of the consciousness must be ultimately functions of the body, in which case it is only by affecting the body that it affects the mind, and never the vice versa. However, these days, in fact, the science, there is a growing interest among the scientists to undertake laboratory-based experiments upon individual meditators. And in some cases, they are beginning to find evidence of where, as a result of an individual meditator using purely the power of cognition or power of mind, either through single-pointedness meditation or some other meditative practices, they are able to effect change at the biological level. So here we can see a kind of a reverse effect that through, as a result of pure thought process taking place in the mental level, one can detect manifestations of that at the biological and physiological level. And so there is now a growing interest, and in fact laboratory-based experiments are being done. Of course, these kind of experiments and these kind of investigations need to go further.
자, 계속 견뎌 미고 있나? 엔터지 그 산재에 처벌지고 있나? 디켈라 보세요. 그봐. 때로 사셔나? 나는 있다고 하셔도 있거나 나는 지금 한번 저기 나네. 지 당고 한번 저러 서버도 되게 다 신문하네. 지 링실링데 리로 님데 차다. 님데 지 타면 지 송셔도 차디. 나는 님데 치중 님데 차. 다 아니 야 저문이네 양타는 유디디. 안다 뭐서 다 그게 차이죠. 차 샤샤 유리잖아. 다 지금 뭐서 통한다 버티다. 신문 시험 니부디. 다 겨샤도 와. 저 상가 나는 박사님도 지도 제스 박사님도 노중 가지세 러시아보다 치중도 내셔셔버티 만도 무슨 통화되버티 다 디데베 견더레 님은 시우천부레 나 총중데 저 니네 님이 이르자네 딱고 견더 미디고 뭐 통되고 쉬는 셔셔버티 다 겨다다 좀 겨다다서부터 겨워지거든 무슨 통이 뭐 다가는 신이 양다를 차시나 뒤드시시는 모습고 통비여배 인드자네 다 또 갸다미고서 차송한다 이거 저들이 인드자네 뭐든지 셔셔번 넣으시지 아주 캐내야 민두신 다는 리셔야 되리 어다시 다른 젊은식으로 신임을 나서 오는 시체니 무슨 능력을 주나? 무슨 말에 리버드 개요 좀더 캐나나? 얘네 마법 참여지고 미룽성 오는 시체 다 리버드 개와서도 마세요 무슨 능력과 차별이나? 상제배 캐나나도 요마
So if, however, as a result of scientific or some other critical investigation, certain aspects of the Buddhist thought are shown to be, proven to be not the case, proven to be untrue, then as followers of the Buddha, as Buddhists, one must accept the consequence of that. I have often made the comment that, for example, the description, the cosmological description of our world, we find in the Buddhist Abhidhamma texts such as Abhidhamma Kosha, Treasury of Phenomenological Knowledge, where the size of sun and moon are described in very specific numbers, and the distance between earth and sun and moon are described. And in fact, a lot of these descriptions, including the presence of Mount Meru as the center of the universe, many of these cosmological descriptions that are found in the Abhidhamma texts cannot be accepted because through modern cosmological study, there has been proven actually that there is exact measurement of the distance from Earth to these celestial bodies. There is exact measurement of the difference of size between the sun and moon, which according to Abhidhamma text is not very large, but we know it is a tremendously large difference, and so on. So these, for example, in the Abhidhamma text, the distance is described as 51 yojas, or pakses, and so on. So these can no longer be accepted because we have very clear empirical evidence that suggests otherwise. And as Buddhists, who we cannot, if an idea or a concept has been disproven through a very clear evidence, then one must reject the concept. For example, also Tsongkhapa states in one of his texts, differentiation of the definitive and interpretive meanings of the scriptures, where he states that he who accepts philosophical standpoints that are contrary to reason and cannot be accepted as a valid, reliable thinker. If that is the case, then of course anyone who accepts who choose to defy the evidence of empirical proof is even worse. One must accept the proof of the empirical evidence.
那那的其他的团里呀，东北那个团里呀，龙北市里呀，电话中呢？哎，咱根本是这样不要的。他第一的，哎，东北南下，查了第一的，他那日本人在呢，哎，这呢，哎，搞了没？你怎么在那个边的龙，龙岗县里，哎，那个大几十不马的县呢？都是的，哎，那那就过去搞个龙的那个团呢，把他。 扎西布马的神在过呀，有没有吧？过去的团里，日本的战呢？日本不是的战呢？哎，你龙的看了龙的面容，扎西什么人的面？如果不是的战呢？哎，你打查了个南下一万七亚当，才能这龙扎西什么人呢？如果困难，他们的战呢？过结果不能行，进一步团里呢？过他这个天上给他们的大些些的，那个日本的这个他说的不给。 춘한도 둘땡에게 가서 그렇게 춘한도 둘땡에게 실시하니 애는 곧 주민들잖아요. 그런데 나도다 사제배 예바도 피하라고 하죠.
In fact, even within the Buddhist tradition, we can see the importance of using the resources of reasoning. For example, when understanding the Buddha's teaching on emptiness, if we were to rely entirely on the authority of the scriptures, then we will reach an impasse because there are many, so many different varieties of scriptures, and many of which on the surface makes conflicting claims, conflicting philosophical standpoints, and there is simply no way that one can arrive at.
네마 아저씨 담재상에 계시지 그 배려하고 잘 매우지 다도 와 그 미다스당에 되게 이미시스럽게 이인인스럽고 그랬어 많이 버텨스 그러잖아요 매매매스 그랬어 이스럽지 이제 애들 룸네 이스라이트다 이인인스 야 룸지가 매스는 어 매매매스 그래서 애들 배때 개주 부부차요
그러고 So there are so many different scriptures and many of them, in fact, making competing, conflicting statements. So if we were to rely entirely on the authority of the scriptures and the literal statements of these scriptures, then simply there will be no way one can arrive at a proper understanding of the Buddha's teaching on emptiness. In fact, there is a story that there was a student who was studying the Geshe course, and at the debate session, and apparently the student wasn't very bright. So at the debate session, whenever the person who was asking the question says, this is the case because that's the so, then he would immediately say, yes, yes, I agree. And then when he comes with a counter-argument, this can't be the case because this is how it is. He would say, oh, okay, I will agree with you. So this would be the similar situation if we have only scriptures at our disposal as an authority. So what we do in the Buddhist tradition is to look at all these different diversity of scriptures, all of them teaching emptiness, and then use our own understanding and reason to arrive at a much more deeper, sort of convergent standpoint by using reasoning, critical reasoning. We distinguish between different levels of subtlety in one's understanding of emptiness, and by using critical reasoning, then we make differentiations between the scriptures, some that can be taken literally at face value, some that requires further interpretation and cannot be taken as definitive and literal, and so on. So if that is so, then of course, when dealing with the world of conventional reality, the world of everyday diversity of conventional world, then we must accept that there is an area of commonality between Buddhist explanations of the nature of the conventional world and the scientific explanation of the nature of the conventional world, and where we find instances where there is an empirical evidence suggesting something to be the case, then since we are engaging in the common area of discourse and analysis, we must accept the validity of that empirical evidence.
어 다야 산제베 중나로리아 나란즈 타데 다치 유진로 타당 나란즈 자진버로 지 딘디지 타네 야베 지 가서 우리 그게 유익 내주베 지듯이 신이서다 지듯이 서울에 다 간다지 그게 떠버려야겠다 내주베 참말로 지리베 내퇴하다 지금 뒤에 배지리안 가버리셔 자 딘디 인도산에 우리 흉내인 통민주사지 중세고주사지 신도고주사지 신도와 자자가다 리치디 마라도 리베다 쟤니 쟤피아 맹해시니고 저 들이 이 인도산에 코라 냠순 용어 마도 리베시아 피아 맹해시기 대세시 여벳 저다 대세시 우디 대 냠순 용 땡해지 아니 그게 직수미션에 세도 창고시행에 아니 진짜이다 가서 그 신도 꼬도 집에 전디 땡배 슝래에 너지 무슈 겨여미 다 진짜 봤지 아니 진짜 타네 아니 아 캐나 거야 직지 연구야 그래서 다들 감사 수버시리야 땡고야 그런 게 남중에 이제 시작이에요 별로 사잖아 그러나 소소 제외 제시디 소소 내다 요말로다 단디 지금 판행 아리야 다 뛰는지 다 내기를 쓰다 러시아가 대 가서 숨어지다 나리야 이시셔 저디가 다 지지셔 봐 요말이 밑에 봐요 민도 드리 민도네 다 들겠어요 나도 자도 빠스스로 그도 또 저 밑에 책부터 쓰기 그걸 러시아로 다 그걸 러시아로 다 이제 개유 통권을 로도스에 털다 야 내가 통권을 야 로도스 마시어 다 이제 제시 받으시 간단히 간단히 가사 숨으시기 나아야다 때네 로가지 다 고쳐야되기도 와 그래서 뒤에 손들이 나 지금 그래서 시신 나와 이렇게 말하는 다 근데 시신이 제태명이지 예배 그래서 가사 숨으실 때인 거야 가사 숨으실 때야 뒤에 가사를 싸신 분이 있으시니 시기와 말이 그냥 가사를 믿으 철을 떼어시니 쓰게야 돼 但 刚上啥时候一部就是他就不要买了。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得了呀。第一下下不得
However, and this is not to suggest that according to Buddhism, we accept that all facts of the world, all phenomena, can be understood simply by using our critical faculty as ordinary individuals. This is, however, not the case. For example, there is an understanding that given the present state of our cognitive ability, there are certain facts and phenomena that may lie at the, you know, at least for the time being, outside the scope of our comprehension or possibility of realization. And therefore, in Buddhism, a distinction is made between three classes of phenomena. One is what is known as the evident phenomena, the phenomena that we can directly experience, we can perceive through our senses and so on. So there is first the evident phenomena. Then there is what is called a slightly hidden phenomena or slightly obscure phenomena, which we can still understand through inference, through using reasoning, through process of reasoning. We can gain a kind of a cognition, recognition of these phenomena. There is, however, a third category of phenomena, which is described as the extremely hidden phenomena. And these are phenomena and facts that at the moment, given the sort of limitations of our current cognitive capability, these facts and phenomena lie beyond our present ability to understand. And so these can only be understood on the basis of the testimony of someone who had gained direct experience of these. And so here, their acceptance of these facts and phenomena must be based upon a valid testimony of a third person. And where and often I give the example, an analogy here. For example, like you know, each of us may know a certain date to be a date of birth. However, this is a knowledge that we haven't acquired firsthand. We acquired it through someone else's testimony. It could be our parents, it could be someone else. And for example, if it is our parents who told us such and such date to be our date of birth, then we would accept that as a valid statement. because there is no reason why the parents should lie, and also we can rely on the words of that person, so authority. Of course, there are of course exceptional instances. For example, these days in India, when Tibetans have to make travel documents or registration papers, sometimes they take a little kind of flexibility on the date. if the purpose is to seek retirement, then you increase your age, and if the retirement benefits. If the purpose is to seek employment, then you reduce your age. Of course, these are different circumstances, but generally, we accept the authority testimony of a third person that such and such date is my date of birth. And similarly, in Buddhism, there is an understanding of this third class of phenomena, which remain extremely hidden to us, which are extremely obscure phenomena and facts, which we accept on the basis of the scriptural authority of the Buddha, where and again here it is the acceptance of that authority is not very simplistic, simply by saying yes, Buddha was a very sacred, holy person. That's not the case. Again, the procedure for accepting that authority requires a certain procedure. For example, one of the principles of Buddhist analysis is known as the four reliances: not to rely on the person but on his words, and not to rely on the mere words but on the meaning, and so on. So we subject the authority of the Buddha first by critically examining other scriptures where he had made claims that are susceptible to critical reasoning, such as the Four Noble Truths and so on. And then if we find these to be able to withstand critical analysis and proven to be true, and then we take that into account, and also then we take into account the fact that, you know, there is no ulterior motive on the part of the speaker to make these claims, that, you know, there is no reason why he or she should be making false claims. So it is through the combination of these various considerations then we accept the authority of the third person. So it is not the case that everything, all the facts and phenomena are in some sense accessible to us as ordinary people at the moment with our present limited cognitive faculty.
다들 샹준 퇴니 야구 정원에야 제신 방배 샹은 제신 방배로 야구 시계고요. 대단해야 다 되게 안 되시면 이제니 닝질로 다 숙소부터 꼭 고요하래. 다 당연 되게 하나. 다 간다 닝질로 샹준 퇴니 야구 정원에야 닝질로 고요하래. 자, 다 들리 뭐 인도 닝질로 영원에야 다 근데 또 그런 추스다. 닝질로 야구 정원라. 그다 강동에게 나와 심신들 제시 방법으로 깨야지다. 동해 강에 나와 동해 못해봤지 고도가. 딱 강동에게 나와 심신 제시 방법으로 주야지. 기후 천부 그도로 자연 거야 아래. 딱 동해 강에 나와 동해지 못해야 아래야. 내가 현대로 동해지. 딱 동해 안에 지 동해 소디 두지 동해 삼고야 아래. 와, 두지둥에. 다 대, 냐라, 샌딩, 삼발레, 랑딩, 삼발, 샤, 찰라. 자, 근데 인류, 기분 등극도리야. 코아지시라, 동행을 넣을 수 있는 사람들 할 때, 니, 니, 냐라, 로고야. 딩, 냐라, 머신은, 영향도 와. 다 대야, 아니, 좀 된 대기, 아니, 동행, 송윤주 산에, 다 동행이야, 동행, 릭송, 송이. 이게 말이, 산재의 체외, 동해 삼야의 동해 또디, 누지 동해 체외 아래. 동해지 동해에, 탄들다, 동해, 동해지 동해에야, 민주별로 튼줄이 용구 아래. 대래, 리시 타야 튼줄이 용구 아래. 와다, 뉴의 동해, 동해의 런신도 통니, 대래 탄들, 즉, 성수 공력이 무디벌리 용구 아래. 다시 310의 연체기, 아니, 띵지 유로 톱딩에, 띠딩에 띠기, 초당용 버시 차세, 리식, 아니, 유의 동일에 타와인 바래요. 타투구요. 자, 따지 내 인류산에, 상제의 최기, 상제의 최, 세야디, 최냥대로 샤. 최냥대디다, 대두지기다, 최지구이와 인류, 냥대 되니기 로지기, 스베토하네, 아니, 냥대 두야기 최지구도가. 자, 근데 인류산에, 누지기 동해를 쓰니, 누지기 동해를 탄대 걸로 내기, 양대 되니 걸로, 타바 되니 걸로, 내무도가. 양대리야, 아니, 이면에, 다 딩건도 채투나, 삼바지, 양대를 접수해야지, 내일도 취하러 접수해, 어디 내무도가. 봐. 대라지, 딱, 뭔 말을 떼야로. 딩건도 채투나, 삼바, 아니, 응원되기 타바, 이 내무도가. 딱, 대라, 민주쓰기 아래. 자, 드리인도, 누지기 동해 삼아야 되다, 또 자대기 말이야. 딜레기 누지기 동해 삼바디, 영화 라야, 냐라, 동해지 동해래, 다, 배, 다다 배, 동해지 동해 문주와 매나야, 동해지 동해 배 문주원으로 삼담바 이나, 대척이 로리야고, 뉴어태야로, 고 판도이바 인도자네, 딜레라, 기부 충무커두기, 아니, 냐루 냐송기 동해 삼아야 다, 디송이 말이야. 좋아. 쟤네다, 도스쟤네. 간다, 그림을 놓고, 둘째 정해주고 있습니다. 네, 띠 영화래야, 그 두, 가서 러버듯이, 그 두소 영화로, 르르르 내고, 쎄도 되니, 명남 장네. 아니, 롤래야, 속도로 두고 사유인데, 아니, 털도 이게, 타고 신집에 정해주고 있습니다. 누버님들이 있습니다. 아니, 그 앞에 천인상황을 용서해야지. 그다음 도시입니다.
So, as explained before, the essence, the principle, core of the practice of the Buddha's teaching is really the cultivation of bodhicitta, the altruistic aspiration to attain Buddhahood. And this, as Asanga points out in his Abhisamaya Mahayana Sutra Alamkara, ornament of the Mahayana scriptures, he states that the root of bodhicitta, the root cause of bodhicitta is compassion. So one needs to cultivate compassion, great compassion. So when we speak of bodhicitta, the bodhicitta is defined as a state of mind, an aspiration, and that is endowed with two intentions or aspirations or two wishes. One is the wish to bring about the attainment of enlightenment, and the other one is the aspiration to bring about the welfare of other sentient beings. And as I explained yesterday, each of these different components that together lead to the experience of bodhicitta must be cultivated separately. For example, in order to cultivate the aspiration to attain Buddhahood, one must first, especially for to follow the way of the intelligent practitioner, one must first develop a deep understanding of what is meant by enlightenment that one is aspiring for. And so therefore one must have some degree of understanding of the notion of liberation and the meaning of cessation of suffering. And without and when we speak of cessation, here we are talking primarily of the cessation of the origin of suffering, which are the afflictions. And and in order to develop a genuine, deeply felt aspiration to attain such a cessation, one must have a degree of understanding of the nature of the afflictions, what kind of afflictions they are, what are their dynamics, what degrees of subtlety exist in these among these afflictions, and so on. And one must ultimately gain a deep understanding of the nature, the distorted nature of the delusion, which is the grasping at true existence of things. And without such a deep understanding of the meaning of liberation, the meaning of moksha, it is simply not possible to have a genuine understanding of what is meant by the omniscient state of Buddhahood. And without that, one will not be able to cultivate a deeply felt yearning or aspiration to attain that. So this is one component. The other component is the aspiration to bring about others' well-being. And this is the altruistic dimension. And in order to, and this is in fact the compassion, and in order to cultivate such great compassion that aspires to bring about others' well-being, two things are required. One is the experience of a deep empathy and connectedness towards the sentient, with the sentient beings, and you know, a sense of unbearableness of their suffering, so that you have a deep experience of empathy and connectedness with other sentient beings. And so this is this needs to be again cultivated separately, and along with that, it is also important to develop a deeper understanding of the nature of suffering that you wish others to be free of. And when we speak of suffering in Buddhism, we make distinctions between three different levels of suffering, as described yesterday: the suffering of suffering, the suffering of change, and suffering of pervasive conditioning. And in the context of developing a deep insight into the nature of suffering, we are primarily concerned with the third level of suffering, because so far as the first level of suffering, the suffering of suffering, which is the obvious or evident suffering, the painful experiences, one can say that even the animals have the ability to recognize these as undesirable, and also the wish to be to be relieved from these sufferings, something that even the animals can experience. And also with regard to the second level of suffering, the suffering of change, even the non-Buddhist meditators can develop not only the aspiration to be free of that, but also gain a degree of temporary release from these. For example, when you when an individual experiences or attains high levels of meditative states, such as the four levels of form states, the four states of the form realm, four levels of the form realm. These levels, these states are characterized by absence of any pleasure and pain, and it is characterized by an experience of total neutrality. So one can say that temporarily, even these states are free of the second degree of second level of suffering. However, it is the third level of suffering that one must cultivate a deep understanding, and the freedom from that is what is meant by nirvana. So when we speak of dharma in the context of Buddhism, where dharma here refers to nirvana, and this nirvana is the cessation of this third level of suffering. So when we develop a deep aspiration to gain that realization, then we have effectively cultivated the aspiration to attain liberation, which is the renunciation. So as explained yesterday, in order to cultivate bodhicitta, which is the main path, before first we must cultivate the various components of the path that ultimately eventually. The point is that by the need to cultivate deeper insight into the suffering indicates how the practices of the initial scope and the middling scope must precede the actual practice of bodhicitta. Seeking to gain freedom from the first level of suffering is the main objective of the practice of the initial scope, and then all the practices related to seeking freedom from the first and the second levels are related to the initial scope, and all the practices related to gaining freedom from the third level of suffering is the middling scope practice. So we can see that in order to engage in the practice of cultivating bodhicitta, one must precede that practice by engaging in the practices of the initial scope and the middling scope.
Oh yeah, that is it.
So we'll take a break here.